It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live. Only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Jeff Wilson started covering the Texas Rangers in 2008, though he'll never forget 2021. Out on his own, he decided it was time to do a podcast, but his wheels were spinning until a nerd came along. There's no going back now. Welcome to the Texas Rangers Baseball Podcast. Here's your host, Jeff Wilson, and the recliner nerd himself, John Moore.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Texas Rangers Baseball Podcast. This is episode number 37. Today, left-handed pitcher Brock Burke is going to join us from Oakland a little bit later. But right now, Jeff, let's get into the current team and what's going on right now. The Rangers sit at 20-23 this Friday morning. That's when we're taping. They're 20-23. They've won two in a row.
Yeah.
I've looked it up. If they've got three more in Oakland starting tonight. If they can win two of the next three, they will split the road trip.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, that's kind of all you can ask for. I think every team is satisfied if that's their minimum. You
right.
know, you don't want to come home with a losing record. It happens, obviously, but you know, after going 1-1-3 against the Astros,
exactly,
getting that split, that win on Wednesday in Anaheim was pretty big. And you know, Oakland can pitch a little bit. You know, we saw Frankie Montas last night. That guy's
he was good,
ridiculous. The A's are gonna get a lot for him at the trade deadline.
Yes.
And
how much
and,
control is he still under?
Oh, a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, they have a decent rotation. That place, for whatever reason, the last few years the Rangers just haven't scored runs there, and they figured out a way though Thursday night and won the game, and they just got to figure it out the next couple and come on back home at least 500. That'd be pretty handy.
You can't ask for any more than that. I think any good team tries to at least go 500, uh-huh. And if they can do that or at least stay close to 500.
Well, and this trip is against the top two teams in the division.
Absolutely.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, so that works good. Hey, but let's not beat around the bush. Let's be honest. This is a playoff team. They're 3.5 back of the wild card now.
Yeah, I think. Well, really look at those wild card standings, but I think this is two or three shows running now. We've said it. They're playing pretty good baseball after that 2-9 start.
Yeah.
You know, they're 18-14. They're 13-9 this month.
6-4 in 10 days.
Yeah, going into this Friday night game. So, again, you know, they have their stinkers. They, you know, that inning the other night in Anaheim, I was there for Tuesday night. You know, no runs should have scored.
Sure.
But that happens to a lot of teams. It seems to happen to this team a little bit too much, and they got to clean that stuff up. But,
yes.
You know, that's going to happen. You know, as the roster gets better and more experienced, that will happen. And in theory, at least, and they'll be in more games. But again, they came back, made a little noise in the ninth there. You know, the Sunday afternoon loss, they loaded the bases and one out and had Jonah Heim, their best hitter, up.
Yep.
He bounced into a double play, and you know, they ended up losing the game there. But they're in the games,
yep,
for the most part, and
they make the winning team sweat. I mean,
yeah, I mean they've seemed to struggle hitting on the road, but. They'll figure that out.
Well, and let's look. Marcus Semien starting to a little bit come out of it.
Sure,
he's always been hitting the ball pretty hard. They're starting to drop a little. Still doesn't have the home run. Yeah. Thought he had one yesterday. Looked like was it
Tuesday? Was it Wednesday at Anaheim? He had the triple.
He had the triple off the. Was that the one that was off the wall? Yeah. Right. Okay. And so, that elusive home run is still not there yet for a guy that hit 45 last year.
Yeah.
I'm not worried. We're still early. He's not going to put up 40 home runs this year.
He was never going to put up 40 home runs.
Right.
That's the thing. I mean, he went from, we said this last week, a minor league park, and Rogers Center, a home run haven.
Right.
To a home ballpark that is not a home run haven.
Exactly.
So, and the Rangers weren't expecting him to do that.
Right.
They knew that wasn't going to happen. But, the good news is, though, that while he's struggling, other guys have picked it up. Jonah Heim, Cole Calhoun, he's got 6 home runs in his last 11 games, I think. This is a guy who's hit 38 home runs, I think, is his career high, something like that in a season. He was hurt all of last year. He got hurt last offseason and tried to play through it, and it didn't work, and his numbers reflect that. But the Rangers got him for a reason. They thought they could get him on a rebound. He's a great, great leader, great clubhouse guy. And the turnaround.
Yeah, it's thanks to me.
Let's
be honest. Yeah. Started with me. I mean, look, he started off slow and really kind of got going. And then I played the home run game with him. Ever since I played the home run game with him, look what he's done. He's gone crazy. In fact, Semien and I need to play the home run game.
Well,
maybe we need to get him to play it. But I take full credit for Cole Calhoun and his turnaround. I haven't told him this yet because I haven't seen him since he's been on this tear. Maybe we'll play the doubles game and he can start getting some more doubles or something. We'll figure it out as we go.
Don't downgrade him.
For every good player that seems to be doing some things, there's some that are struggling too. And you look at the guy that's behind you who's scuffling.
Boy.
And what a guy. We love this guy. If you've never met Andy Ibañez, just a super sweet kid. I like this guy. But, it's tough. His defense has been – his better part of his game,
which is surprising.
Reverse.
especially at third base, because last spring of 21, it was not good, and he's worked on it. Obviously, kept working. Now he's might be the Rangers' best defensive third baseman. Now that's not clearing a very high bar.
No.
But that's why he's playing. The problem though is he's not getting out of the slump. He's not. Yeah, I think he's 2 for his last 43. He did draw the bases loaded walk last night to get the Rangers the first run, but it's not doing him any favors up here, letting him continue to struggle like this. And maybe eventually he breaks out, but he probably should be a AAA. And it's unfortunate to say that.
Yeah,
but he's not the first guy who in his second season has encountered problems. And you get fixed by going to the minor leagues and working on things and less pressure.
Right.
They can put a lot more focus on you and go from there. So I don't know when that will happen. I think it will. Now he may go out and hit 5 home runs the rest of this weekend and hey, maybe something happens. But I think that the Rangers could probably get by with Culberson and Brad Miller at third base.
Let's be honest.
Bring up Tavares, get him some at bats. I don't think they want to do Josh Smith or Davis Wenzel just yet.
They're not on the 40.
And they're
either.
Not on the 40. And so. There's going to be some 40 man issues coming up when Leclerc and Hernandez come off the 60 day IL. So, that plays in it. Plus, Wenzel is on the injured list, but Josh Smith's playing pretty good.
Yeah. Well, and. Something happened the other night that is foretelling of what you're talking about, Andy Ibañez. Left-handed pitcher on the mound, and 3 catchers were in the lineup.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got to be honest, kind of dug that. That surprised me, but it's telling right there that they're putting the bats in the lineup that they feel can do something. Not too good of a sign for Andy Ibañez. It was a left-handed pitcher. That's a perfect person. They had and they go with 3 right. They go with 3 catchers to get them in the lineup because they're the hottest bats. Let's be honest, all 3 of them. Heim is far and away probably the best hitter on the team right now, or at least he's producing the most right now on the team. Calhoun's doing fantastic too. Garver's found some little bit of power this week. You know, what, three games in a row he hit a home run?
Yeah.
And he's done well. But, you know, Sam Huff hits the ball hard, and he's gotten a hit. And, you know, except for the pinch hit when he didn't get a hit in that late inning the other night, he's gotten a base hit in every game that he's played in.
Yeah, he doesn't have any extra base hits.
No.
But I think that comes. I mean, the important thing is you got to hit the ball. You gotta be able to hit the ball and make contact, which he's doing. He's had some, you know, that at bat you're talking about, that pinch hit at bat at Houston. You know, he first pitch from Presley. He, you know, if that ball stays fair, it's a home run.
Yep.
I mean, that's the distance it had, and he's got that potential. And if he's gonna be in the major leagues as a backup catcher, because you know Garver still can't catch,
right?
And this is
may not for the rest of the year.
Old information, you know. He hasn't thrown. He may not. He may be able to play first base, you know. But I don't know about catching. But anyway, you got to get at bats for Sam Huff, because he's still a developing player, and it doesn't do him a lot of good up here if he's just playing twice a week. And
exactly,
you know, again, he's on the 40 man. Again, there's a crunch coming up, so they don't want to add any of the catchers from AAA. So they got to find a way to get him on the field and first base, you know, DH, if Garver, for some reason, were to need a day off from DHing, that's a possibility for Huff too. But, you know, you need to get him. I think he probably needs four games a week to between catcher and first base and DH to, you know, get the 15 to 20 at bat range, and, you know, he can soak in the game when he's not on the bench. You know, talk to the pitchers, talk to Bobby Wilson, the catching coordinator,
exactly,
and figure it out from there.
Well, and let's be honest. I mean, Ibanez is someone that loses at bats in certain situations like that. So's Lowe. They didn't look. Lowe hit a home run last night, a big home run. That was huge
off the lefty. Yeah.
But it was on a curveball or on a slider that he took. He's still struggling with the fastball, and he looks like he can't catch up to the fastball. That's an observation.
Yeah.
I love the home run. I love that he turned on it. He was obviously sitting on an off-speed pitch, but right now you don't feel like he can catch the fastball if it's coming in. He's someone that's got to get going. That's going to lose at bats right there.
Yeah, and that's a tough one too. And there aren't a ton of options either. You know, and I think they got to ride him out. His defense hasn't been great. I mean, he's not a great defensive player, but
sure,
seems like a lot of balls get by him. Or you know, that inning I referenced earlier Tuesday night, he should have caught that ball.
He went up high for
the error should have been on him and not Corey Seager. He's working at it. He's still in a good headspace, it seems like, when you see him in the clubhouse and on the field before the games. So it's just trying to figure it out. But you're right. I mean, he does have options.
Yeah.
The problem, though, again, it comes down to who's going to replace him. And I'm sure they could figure out, you know, Brad Miller can play first base. Ibanez can play first base, but that's not really solving his problem.
That's not the
problem.
Option. I'm assuming maybe Culberson could slide over if they had to, but he's not tearing the ball up either.
Yeah, I'm just saying that there aren't a lot of options right now without them tearing up their 40-man. And I mean, honestly, I would love to see Blaine Crim get a chance at some point. You know,
he's off the 40-man. Yeah.
Right, but that's not going to happen for a while.
Exactly. Okay, so now we're going to test that media bias that we're all talking about. We always talk about this, the East Coast, West Coast media, they are biased. And everyone that's a Ranger fan thinks they're biased against the Rangers. It's not just that. They're just biased towards those East Coast and West Coast teams. That's what you say. But the American League Player of the Month is about to happen. The month of May is going to end this coming next week. Martin Perez, I mean, we looked it up.
Pitcher of the Month.
Pitcher of the Month. Yeah, Pitcher of the Month. I'm sorry. AL Pitcher of the Month.
Player of the Month's coming too.
Yeah, that's coming also. But, you know, we all know Ibanez has that locked up. So we're not going there. We're going with AL Pitcher of the Month. There's a debate. Verlander's had a good month too.
Yes.
Perez is right there with him in the same thing. Perez is 3-0 with a 0.76 ERA in the month of May. Verlander's got one more start to do that. But if it's not one of those two guys right there, which Verlander also is as a more well-known name media.
Sure.
And doing that, maybe because Perez was in Boston, some of that Boston media will pay attention. But if, you know, Perez should be literally up for that.
Oh, he'll definitely get votes. I mean, he's right now, he's Verlander's 4-0 with a 0.7 ERA. One fewer start, so I guess he's probably due tonight or Saturday. Perez is on schedule to start on the 31st.
Right.
Which would give him six starts in the month. You know, he may not win it. I think there's a good chance he won't if Verlander does what he has been doing.
That's a bias.
I think Verlander gets it, but man, just this is so unexpected and you know, so happy for the guy. And you know, after the win Friday in Houston, he had dedicated the game to Tony Beasley,
right,
who got a clean bill of health on his 6-year cancer checkup.
That was, you know, awesome.
You know, and then after the game last night, Martin didn't get the win, but one run in seven innings. He dedicated it to the town of Uvalde, which we all know what they're going through with the massacre at the elementary
classy,
school.
Man. It's just so classy.
The guy's matured. I think that's the number one thing. And he's matured as a person, but also on the field. You can tell just, he knows what he's doing and he doesn't get flustered. So something else we've talked about at length, but you know, as long as he keeps doing it, we're going to keep talking about him.
Absolutely. Maybe go out and win it in June then, right? Hey, we'll end that on a good note, because right now we're going to go to Brock Burke, who's going to join us right now. We've talked about anything else before we get out of here and get him on.
No, you know, I think just, you know, the doom and gloom is not as gloomy. They're still not above 500, and I don't know that they ever will be. But,
yeah,
you know, exactly. This is not 2021.
No, it's not. And, you know, there is one more positive thing I can talk about. For any of you that are obviously, we hope you're a part of Rangers Today. They have moved over now to Rangers Today. There's some things with Substack, and it's changing over. I got my email to change over. I pay for a subscription, even though I work here, because I did it before I ever worked here, and I love it. But it was so easy. Dude, okay, it was really easy, and you were worried about that. Man, it was two clicks. It did it. I didn't get charged anything. It made sure this was my thing. Very cool. And now, you know, it's still coming to my inbox. Nothing got disturbed, but I guess that's turning over now. We're fully turning it over to the...
Yeah, we're almost there. And I know it's been a little bit more of a pain in the butt than I'd hoped, and our IT guy had hoped. But this is some new territory for us. And, you know, it's good territory. And the grass is going to be greener. Price is the same, $5.99 a month, $60 a year, and we've got the $35 option that a couple people have taken advantage of. So,
sure.
You know, and if you got your renewal email from me for monthly, you can upgrade.
Yeah.
You know, and a couple people have. So, you know, we're not going anywhere. The show is a big part of what we're doing.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we're a quarter way through the season. So there's a lot of baseball, a lot of value left in that.
And we're going to go to the offseason. Hey, we're all going to let you know too, guys, coming up here in another week, first week of June, you're going on vacation with the kids. So we're probably going to have a week off here coming up. We'll tell you that up front. I'll make sure and get out old episodes that week and get them out. So if you haven't caught up on all of them, I'll get them out to you. Subscribe to this YouTube channel. We'll try to get some videos out on that too. I'll still be going to games trying to get some video if they're in town during that week. But we got families, and that's going to happen. And we're gonna take some vacations and do that. Coverage doesn't necessarily stop. Podcasts may shut down, but the coverage doesn't stop.
Yeah, no, I'm under strict orders to not work. And so what that means is I'll probably end up working a couple of days on vacation, just knocking out, you know, if TR has a memoir,
sure,
edit that and get it going. I'll try to work ahead and get some stories out and scheduled, but it's going to be a light week here that first week of June.
Yeah, and we'll check back with you guys again and remind you, but right now let's go to Brock Burke, who's going to be joining us from Oakland, and he'll be back right after this. All right, and joining us right now from San Francisco, California, playing the Oakland A's tonight, it's Texas Rangers left-handed pitcher Brock Burke. This one's special to me because I interviewed Brock a few years ago, and we'll get into that later. Brock, what's going on, bud?
Not much, just hanging out here in Oakland.
Oh, man. Now, for people, a little insider information, you guys do not stay in Oakland.
No, right? We stay in San Francisco.
Yeah, it's... I mean, neither, in my opinion, now this is, I'm not trashing the Bay Area intentionally, but it's not my favorite area, either side of the Bay.
I would agree with that. But it's also too not my favorite area. But we'll stay in the hotel and take the bus when need be.
Yeah, the and I know where you guys stay. I'm not going to say it, but because I've stayed in that area too, and even before COVID, it was there's some problems, and I can't imagine what it's like now. I heard Seattle is actually worse than San Francisco. I don't know that I'm going to experience either one this year. Fingers crossed I won't, but yeah, it's not my place.
Yeah, no, not me. We went to try to get food last time we were here, and there was a homeless guy just chasing people around, and all the cops were just sitting there watching it happen. And we're like, yeah, we're going to go ahead and go back home back to the hotel and stay there. We'll do DoorDash instead.
I mean, you know, this is where like CVS and Walgreens have had to close locations because people are wiping them out. Shoplifters,
yeah.
and they're not getting arrested. I was thinking, hey, maybe I can go to a CVS and, you know, pick up some aspirin or something. I don't know.
And just not pay.
Just walk out.
Yeah.
Because no one's going to give me, right?
Yeah, no one knows who you are. Brock does that. He's an MLB player. He can't do that. So that'll get back to somebody.
But he wouldn't get arrested.
You and I could get away with it.
He wouldn't get arrested.
Yeah. No, you would get away. There's armed guards at all, like the Louis Vuittons and the Gucci stores, all the nice outlets that just sitting there. I'm just like, wow, it's this bad here. So it's crazy. Yeah,
that's rough.
Like a different world. Right.
Well, let's go to another beautiful part. Oakland Coliseum. Jeez. Good win last night. You didn't pitch. You didn't have to because Martin did so well. But you Brock are having like a, I won't say a breakthrough year, but it's kind of a breakthrough year, especially as a reliever. So, just what is working so well for you?
I mean, I definitely think coming out of the bullpen has been helping me a lot. Kind of just go right at guys and attack guys and not think too much up there and just go out of my best stuff. And obviously I'm more healthy this year than I've ever been probably my entire career. So I think that has a lot to do with it, especially with the velo side of things and just going up there, not worrying about anything, but getting the guy out, and it's kind of refreshing and it's definitely been helping me a lot.
You talked about the health. When I talked to you in spring training, you said you weren't even all that healthy when the Rangers got you in the trade before the 19 season. You cortisone shots and all that stuff, and you still came up and pitched pretty well. So just golly, how bad was it?
It was really bad there, especially at the end. I mean, I had a couple good starts. I was on a lot of drugs that I couldn't really feel my shoulder, so it wasn't too bad. But I think I got really sick when we were in New York. Got food poisoning and all the drugs must have washed out of my system. And after that, it was literally like every single night, fetal position, cuddling a pillow, like borderline crying at night because it was so bad, hurt so bad. I mean, I couldn't even lift my arm, and every throw hurt, especially there at the end of the last stretch. So I figured that it was probably time to get the surgery. But since the end of spring training, I wasn't healthy the whole season. So, I mean, it wasn't that bad. It had moments of being that bad during the season, but I was kind of roller coaster up and down with whether it was the cortisone or the dose packs or all the Voltaren and stuff like that. But I mean, I've this year, I haven't even looked at an aspirin, so it's a completely different year and just feel way better.
Yeah. And I mean, you did pitch last year. I don't know that people who only follow the major league team may not realize that you spent a full year in AAA, and you were pretty blunt about how you performed there early in the season.
Yeah, it was more like throwing batting practice there in the first couple starts, but
it got better as it went on.
And I mean, obviously, you know, at the end of the year, you're not going to see as much is your velo and stuff like that, but I definitely felt back to my normal self. So being able to take that into the off season, get strong and kind of bring it into this year was huge.
All right. Do you want to start?
I've always, my whole career, been a starter, and I mean, I'm not gonna lie, this bullpen thing's pretty fun, and I'm enjoying it, and it's definitely a different aspect, but it's kind of nice to see this side of the bullpen, see that you can have success just going right at guys and attacking them with your best stuff and maybe trying to take that mindset into hopefully starting again one day. But I mean, I'm just happy to be here. And at this point it's whatever the team needs. And I mean, all the starters are starting to do really well. So I mean, if the role comes up later in the season, I'd be happy to do it if they want to, but right now it's just whatever the team needs.
I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong, but you haven't gone past two innings, at least not for a while, correct?
I went 2 2/3 in New York.
Okay.
But I think it was 45 pitches. I mean, I think the cap right now is kind of that 45 pitch limit, it seems like.
Okay.
Whatever I can do in those 45 pitches.
So you could probably go, what, 60, 65 conceivably?
Yeah, I think if maybe I went two innings last time. I mean, they normally try to do it in increments of 10 to 15 pitches. So yeah, probably right around 55, 60. So that probably would be the next step if it would happen.
If it comes to that. So it would take a couple starts, but
to stretch it.
But yeah, but like you said, you know, there's rotation's going good. The whole pitching staff is going good. And was there a point like early in the season, you guys were 2-9, you know, I don't have to remind you where, I don't know, you guys were like, screw this, we got to do better. Or were you guys just waiting because you had the shortened spring for everything to start to click?
I think it was a little bit of that. I think people were a little timid, maybe. I think as a staff, we were a little timid we have some of the best stuff I've seen as a staff entirely. And we were kind of pitching around dudes, not pitching to our strengths and kind of not really attacking guys. And I think we had a little meeting and it was either Seattle or right after Seattle. And basically it was like, hey, these meetings that we do for scouting guys, or you can take it how you want, but you want to attack with your best pitches when you need to. And we kind of had that little meeting and everyone's just been going at guys with their best pitches. And it's just seemed to make a huge difference.
Obviously you're in the bullpen, so you're a different pitcher, but are you a different pitcher like mechanically or stuff wise since the Rangers got you and you made that debut in 19?
The guy that they got in 19 fresh from the Rays was the guy that I am now. But okay. I mean, last year, I mean, we kind of thought that the injury might have been a mechanical thing and tried to move some mechanical things. And that's why I struggled so much in the beginning of the year. And I finally just said, I'm done with the mechanical stuff. I'm done thinking about it. Whatever happens, happens. I'm going to go out there and throw the ball how I feel. And I just think that a lot of guys kind of need to hear that and need to do that, because every person moves different. Every person does different things. That's what makes you deceptive. And me getting kind of back on that page this year has really helped me, not only with deception and how I'm doing, but just kind of like a feel standpoint that I don't have to think up there about mechanics and just going up there and attacking guys.
You attacked the other night when you pitched. You were responsible for one of the four Mike Trout strikeouts. What? I mean, he's Mike Trout. I mean, we all know what Mike Trout does.
Who?
Yeah,
who?
What? Yeah. But at that point, obviously your stuff's doing fine, but you're in the major leagues. You just trust your stuff. Is it that simple?
I try to simplify it. I mean, I don't look at any stats. I don't look at any video for the most part, maybe a couple of pitches that I want to see, like a slider or something, but I just try to keep it simple. I mean, I tried to go down the rabbit hole last year. It didn't work for me. So now it's just what you got is what you got. Go out there, throw it, and guy hits it. I mean, I'd rather give up hits than walks. I'm at that point in my career where I'm like, I hate walking people. I hate giving up free bases, free runs. And so I just
make
try to go after guys.
Yeah. Well, you know, on the walks, you know, so you can survive giving up a solo homer. It's when you put the guy on and give up a 2-run homer or 3-run homer. That's what gets
it
you.
Adds up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So right now you guys are three games under 500. You've played well against the Angels, competitively against the Astros. What's the confidence level of this team right now?
We're feeling good. We're starting to mesh as a team well, and things are kind of starting to go on all cylinders. And I mean, everyone's having fun, and it just seems like it was such a new group in the beginning. We were kind of taken a little bit to mesh, and I think and everyone's kind of getting along a lot better. And we never weren't getting along, but we're kind of building the camaraderie, I guess, a little bit. And I mean, I think we're doing really well. So been playing. I mean, even the games that we've lost have been all really close games. So
sure. So early in the year, you guys weren't warring. You didn't hate each other. You were just
no. There was no hatred. I mean, it was just almost like everyone was just kind of, you're kind of getting a feel for everyone's personality, how people act after,
yeah,
when they don't do well, when they do well. You're kind of, it's kind of that awkward state, almost like the first week of dating kind of thing, you know, getting all the little kinks out. But I think we're kind of starting to fire on all cylinders here. So,
you know, it's nice. You bring up a good point, because since 2019, this roster is entirely different.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when I was up in 19, I can only think of like two or three guys that were also on that 19 team. So,
yeah, it's nuts how that has, I guess that's part of a rebuild, right? You're rebuilding the whole team. But, you know, when Chris Woodward talks about building chemistry and you bring all these guys together, you didn't get to spend any time in the off season together, or, you know,
right,
like you normally would. Yeah. It takes
short
time.
Spring training too, and
right, yeah. I mean, less time on the golf course, you know. Just
exactly,
I mean, yeah. it's legit stuff. And I keep saying it, keep writing it. I don't think anybody really appreciates the impact that the lockdown and the shortened spring have had on the season.
Absolutely,
you know, it'll get strained out eventually, but it's a huge deal. And anyway, so Oakland, awful ballpark.
Speaking of rat holes that he went down.
Where does it rank for you?
I mean, it's pretty far down the list of places you want to play. I mean, I guess pitcher's standpoint, you know, you get a lot of foul territory, get foul balls. It's not in the nicest area. The drums are constantly banging in your ear when you're sitting there in the bullpen.
Even when there's only 11 fields. People there.
Yeah. I mean, last night was really bad. There's virtually no one there. It's crazy.
They said 3,200.
Everyone was watching the Golden State game. I mean, they had the Golden State game on the board, on the scoreboard, just sitting there like live updates, and more people were probably watching that than the game. So,
well, they said 3,200.
3,200. Yeah.
Was that high or low?
It felt like less than 1,000. Honestly, that's what it felt like. And I think the only reason there was a lot of fans there is I think it was an elementary school. We're singing the national anthem, and they're all cheering for their kids. And they watched probably 6-7 innings, and then it was time to go home. So
time to go home.
Yeah. Well, the last train leaves at midnight, so you got to get out of there.
No kidding.
They're out of there.
Where is your favorite place to go? Whether from a like a ballpark, amenities place, playing, you know, pitching, good place to pitch. What's your favorite ballpark?
I mean, I've pitched in a fair amount. We've gone a fair amount of places, but I mean, obviously, home is hard to beat.
The
Texas Ranger Stadium. If you were to take that out, New York was really cool. New York had a good atmosphere, and obviously it's not a pitcher's park, but the atmosphere is really nice. And just playing in New York, you know, as every kid dreamed of playing in New York Yankee Stadium. So I'd say probably New York.
Well, and the visiting clubhouse is super nice there.
Yes, they feed you well. They pamper you. It's impressive. Yeah,
they take care of you there. I mean, there are some tiny clubhouses. Oakland's just a mess.
Oakland has all the worst things wound into one.
All right, we need to stop beating up Oakland. You know?
Yeah.
Hey, you started it.
Yeah. I did start it. That's my fault. All right. Well, while we're having such a great time, John is going to ask you some non-baseball questions, although they always involve baseball.
Yeah, they always do, but they're always fun. Because, look, this one's special for me. So when I first started covering the Rangers was 2019. I went down to AA. Brock and I sat in the dugout and had a fun interview. I got to break the sleepwalking story.
Ooh,
that was
nice.
Actually me that did that. That when he surprised, and I still use that example, Brock. I tell everybody, because one of my questions, which you will not get today, is tell me something nobody knows about you. And we got some great answers, but I always use the Brock Burke example with the sleepwalking. But I'm excited you're back. It's kind of like seeing your kid grow up, and now he's here, and we get to talk to him in the big leagues.
You're out of diapers.
Yeah, you're out. He's out of the diapers. He's walking on his own. Hey, you're from Evergreen, Colorado. You're from Colorado, yep. So you know this.
Oh, we've got connections here.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh,
we've got some good connections. Evergreen High School.
Yes.
Yep.
The alma mater of Brock Burke, my mom, my uncle, and my aunt.
Good Lord. No wonder you like this
guy.
I mean,
they're separated by, I would say, 50 years.
Yeah.
No. Brock, how old are you?
I am 25.
Yeah, my mom's
73. So I graduated 2014.
My mom's 73. So 48 years separated. But yeah, yeah. Evergreen High, baby.
So you've
Evergreen
been
High
there.
School.
I have.
So you've been there. So did you play? Now look, some of these questions are going to be repeats from when I interviewed Brock a few years ago. But, you know, only a couple hundred of you listened to that. So for the rest of you, you're going to enjoy this. This is fun. Did you play any other sports in high school or when you were growing up?
Growing up, I basically tried all the sports, you know, kind of figured out which ones I liked: basketball, football, lacrosse, soccer. But I didn't. Once high school started, I kind of dropped all the other sports and just kind of focused on baseball. But I thought about playing basketball for a while, then realized how much their conditioning program was, and was like, probably not for me. And the coach didn't really like people too much, so I just kind of stuck with baseball.
How honestly,
you gotta run those suicides.
Living in Evergreen
at altitude.
Evergreen's
7,000 feet. It snows
like
a lot.
7,200.
How do you practice? How did you practice baseball when you were in high school?
I mean, all 4 years I was there, I swear that. I mean, because you get those random snowstorms all the way until May. I mean, it just snowed in Colorado maybe two weeks ago. So.
Right.
I feel like half of our days we were shoveling snow. It was our practice, and it was all the team shoveling the snow just so we could get on the field. And a lot of canceled games. I mean, we did not. Oh, I mean, gosh. We didn't even have lights. We don't even have lights at that field. I don't know if they do yet still, but I mean, we would get to the point we were. I mean, we were pretty good my last 2 years, and we would literally get to the point where we were stepping on the bag and bunting to intentionally get out to get the game over with so that we could run rule them in five innings because we didn't have lights to play with.
Oh, wow. Now, let me ask this. So you obviously were a pitcher. Did you hit? Did you play in the field?
When the pitcher was throwing less than 80 miles an hour, they would put me in there occasionally. But anything above 80 miles an hour, I was out of there.
So. You were out of it. Pitching was your main thing.
Yeah, I took the PO life pretty early.
Hey, so you were committed to Oregon coming out of high school. Any other schools you had interest in or make offers to you?
I think the first team or first school that offered me was Nebraska. I mean, people would obviously think, you know, University of Nebraska sounds like it'd be awful to play baseball there. But their facilities were awesome. Their coaches were awesome. They had an ex-big leaguer there, Darren Erstad. Mm-hmm. They recruited me pretty well. And then it was probably there, U of A or Oregon. And Oregon had some cool uniform options. So I think the 17-year-old Brock kind of thought that was
You like the
cool.
green.
All the different the combinations that you could do. You get 76 different jersey combinations. So like sold.
They just go over to the Nike plant and figure something out.
Yeah. Was it you that told me that Colorado doesn't have a baseball team?
Colorado and Colorado State do not have
baseball. Okay, so that's what I was about to say. Home state.
Air Force is the only – Air Force and UNC have Division I baseball, but Greeley is –
programs.
Yeah.
Greeley is northeastern Colorado. Smells like cow shit all the time because there's there's like a live
–
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the Broncos used to have a training camp up there, and – it would just smell, you know, just awful. So anyway, but Greeley's a nice town.
Such a beautiful state to smell like calcium.
Air Force,
But the program,
Brian Esserich's son, Brian Esserich, who is the TCU play-by-play guy and does Frogs Today here at the Roxo Media House, his son just committed to Air Force. So.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so you're drafted in the third round by the Rays. We know about that. This is a fun question I love to ask anybody that's ever been drafted since I – did not have scouts knocking down my door. Where were you and how did you find out about being drafted?
I was sitting at my home, Evergreen. Sitting there, we thought I might have gone the first day and maybe like the second round. They had a comp pick that year. Waited to the next day. I think it was the 96th pick, so it was pretty early. So I was just sitting there with my family on the couch. you know, watching the news feed, whatever, and
yeah,
found out right there and celebrated with the family a little bit. School was already out. I think I remember going out to breakfast with my family after, and that's all I really recollect. Nothing crazy, you know, just kind of short circle with the family and okay, hung out a little bit, and that was it.
So this question always intrigues me too. Did you get a call right before from the Rays saying, "Hey, we're about to take you"?
So thankfully I that was the first pick the Rays had on the second day. So they called me. It was like the third or fourth pick of the day, maybe.
Right.
Somewhere in there. It was pretty early. So they called me before the draft even started. They're like, "Hey, we're going to take you with the 96th pick." And so it was kind of cool sitting there. You know, it felt like probably light years, I'm sure, waiting to hear your name, but it was a pretty cool experience.
Okay, so you're drafted out of high school. When was it that you first realized or noticed that you were getting scouted? Was it your senior year, your junior year? Were you playing any kind of that travel ball maybe? When did you first notice scouts were paying attention?
Probably junior year. I have a pretty interesting story. Freshman or maybe sophomore year, you know, I was all right baseball player, threw kind of hard, nothing crazy, but we're playing dodgeball in school and those little Nerf balls we were using, and I threw one as hard as I could. I felt like my whole shoulder came apart, and
oh my gosh,
ended up, you know, getting looked at, and I tore my growth plate by I had a huge tear completely across my growth plate, my shoulder. So, I mean, I took the whole baseball season off. I think that must have been freshman year. Ended up doing all this rehab stuff, you know, doing all this crazy stuff with my shoulder in rehab with a growth plate injury. Came That's back. I mean, I might have been throwing 70 miles an hour as a freshman. Came back sophomore year and was throwing 85, 86.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy external rotation, all this, way stronger. I feel like that's kind of the thing that in my life, and I'm very happy happened. You know, obviously injuries suck, but being able to kind of knowing that, hey, being stronger and having this little extra bit of external rotation really, really kind of set everything off. And then it's just kind of been a slow upward trend with velo and baseball.
All right, kids. Kids, take it from Brock Burke. Tear your growth plate in your throwing arm.
And then go rehab it.
Grab your arm and try to rip it right off.
and then go rehab it and for a year and take a year off. Okay, this part right here, Jeff, you're going to enjoy this. I kind of gave him a little hint about this. I remember this coming up when on Media Day at Frisco, the first event I ever attended was Media Day in Frisco that first year. You were part of a three-way trade with two teams. Jurison Profar was the one that went to Oakland.
Went to Oakland.
Eli White and you were the return coming back from Oakland and from Tampa Bay. Tell your story about how you found out you had been traded and what was happening.
I was in Belize at the time. I think I had just gotten put on the 40-man, and we had a really early flight and to Belize. And it was me, girlfriend, whole family going. And we get to the airport and I realize I left my phone. And I remember the first thing saying my parents, we have to go back and get my phone. I was like, I never know. You never know what's going to happen. They're like, oh, you just got put on the 40, man. You won't get traded. So leave my phone there, take off to Belize. We're there for a week and a half, 7 days in. We're just, you know, hanging out. I finally, you know, got used to not having a phone with me at all times and just relaxing by the pool. And all I see is my dad taking off from across the pool, running to me. He said, Hey, come here now. You just got traded. I was like, what? I think that was, it must've been a Friday or Saturday. I got traded. I figured this out on Sunday or Monday, 2 days after I got traded. So, I mean, they were probably calling my phone, you know, looking where I was, probably thought I was dead. So I ended up finally, I had nobody's phone. So I used my dad's phone. I think he happened to have my agent's number. Tried to call my agent, text my agent, and told him I was in Belize, forgot my phone, told him what happened. But, I mean, it was finally got home 3 days later. Saw 100 missed calls, 200 text messages. Everybody saying, oh, congrats. And everyone, I had to go through all of them, be like, oh, I'm sorry. Basically just copy and paste it. I was in Belize, you know, and yeah. Ended up talking to Woody and JD and all those guys and saying what happened, and they thought it was pretty funny. So
I told you it was a great story.
I remember when it happened. It was It was the morning of the, it was the morning before the Armed Forces Bowl in Fort Worth. And I was covering it, and I knew that something was happening. I knew that Profar was about to get traded. And I was actually writing the story before the press conference started. I was writing, hey, Jerkson Profar is probably going to get traded. And then it broke while then Houston coach Major Applewhite was on the podium. And so I just left my tape recorder there and went outside and started making calls and cussing at people because I was pissed off that I didn't get to break the story. Dang it.
But that when you talk about not having your phone, I can't imagine you don't have your phone and the number of messages you had when you got back just must have been astronomical when you did that.
I would rather lose anything than my phone.
Oh,
that's and after that, I was like, I will never. So it's the first thing on my checklist. I mean, it always was, and that was a freak thing. You know, I've never left my phone anywhere, I feel like. And one time I leave it, I get traded, of course.
Absolutely.
So I guess if you want to get traded ever, you just stop carrying your phone.
Well, one time you did have your phone was in August of 2019 when you got called up to make your major league debut. Tell us about that story. How did you find out you were going to go to the big leagues? Who told you and how did they do it?
I was in AAA. We were in Nashville at the time. And I kind of had a feeling I was doing pretty well in AAA. And calls me into the office, Wood. I don't remember his first name.
Jason
Wood calls me in the office, you know, gives me the spiel. You're going to the big leagues. And I kind of had an inkling. So my parents kind of were already on edge and you know, I was able to call them and tell them I was getting called up to the big leagues. And they're telling me I was pitching the second game of the doubleheader. Palumbo was pitching the first.
Right.
Part of the three headed monster back in 19. And I mean, just from there, it was all just a dream come true.
It was so hot that day.
Oh God,
it was so hot, and it was a doubleheader because it was the makeup game from the game that was postponed because of the
Tyler Skaggs thing. Yep.
Yes.
And but it was so hot.
Oh God. Yeah.
And I remember sitting in the press box, being so grateful I was outside.
Yeah, I was slotted to pitch the first game of the doubleheader, and I think they called us that night, and we're like, oh, Palumbo's actually going to pitch it, and you're going to pitch the second one. It's like, wow, thank God. Palumbo, I think he ended up getting a blister because it was so hot, sweating so
yeah,
much.
And yeah, that's right. He ended up getting
a blister. I was like, wow, that very easily could have been me. So.
Absolutely. I remember.
Anyway, you tossed six scoreless,
yep,
as I recall.
Angels. Yeah, no, it was pretty cool.
I just remember going, I covered the game before, the day before. Yeah. I covered and so I went into we went inside the press box, or not press box, we went inside the clubhouse and you were there. We knew you were coming, we didn't expect you. And I saw you and started grinning, and that's when I introduced you to some people and that whole story. We're gonna get into that right now. So we're not gonna go too big into it. For those that don't know, there's been some stuff about it. You do sleepwalk. You've had some crazy stories in it. Tell us some of the funny stories you've had with those, some of your roommates and what they've told you've done. So you scared a few people, and that was the funniest part about it. You scared some people.
Yeah. No, I would say Palumbo was probably some of the most fun because, I mean, New York guy, Long Island, and gets mad easily. So you've talked to him. You know how he is. But I'd room with him in 19, and I hinted that I'd sleepwalk. And I mean, when I say I sleepwalk, everyone takes it different. You know, it's, oh, he does it like the Step Brothers, or, oh, he just mumbles in his sleep. And I think one of the first nights, the two beds are, when you're staying in a room together, the two beds are right next to each other.
Right.
Maybe like 3 feet separate. And I guess the first night he said that I stood up on my bed and started acting like I was going to jump from bed to bed. So he like woke up in the middle of the night. I'm sitting there like a bit getting ready to jump. And he's like, there's no way he's going to jump. And I sure go jump onto his bed, land on his bed, 2 feet, jump right back. He said I was about getting ready to do it again. He said, I'm doing like slow motion. He just goes, Bert, Bert, stop. And it kind of rattled me. And I mean, I don't even remember it, which is the crazy thing. I never remember any of the outings or the sleepwalking ventures, and ended up just going back to bed. And he told about the next day. And then I think it might have even been the same trip. He said that I literally got out of bed, flying out of bed, ran dead sprint to the bathroom. He said he walked in there with his flashlight because he was still kind of awake. And he goes in, and I'm sitting there on my hands and knees right next to the toilet, just batting down all the toilet paper off the roll as fast as I can with two hands. And I was like, he was telling me this that morning. I was like, dude, there's no way I did that. You know, I walk, go to the bathroom, and all the toilet paper is gone, just sitting on the floor, completely unraveled. I was like, wow, I really did that. So it can be funny at times.
Yeah, I think Tyler Phillips had one where you got up and you started punching a pillow or something or did something.
Yeah, swinging a pillow around. I had a dream about giant bees coming after me, so I was swatting a pillow around. I think that was when my shoulder was messed up.
Yeah.
19. And I remember waking up in the morning and be like, oh my God, I think I just threw 9 innings, like felt awful. Well, damn pillow around so hard.
Yeah, well, it's interesting now though. Don't you do some kind of deal now where you kind of curbed a little bit? You wake yourself up after an hour and then kind of do something like that, or isn't there something you've done that's kind of helped a lot?
Yeah, I mean, I've noticed the less sugar I eat before bed, the less I kind of do it. And if I gradually fall asleep, a lot of times it's I'll fall asleep too quick. So okay. Yeah, when I'll set an alarm like an hour in sleep, it'll wake me up, I'll turn it off and kind of go back to bed and kind of resets me a little bit. I've noticed we have these drinks, they're called SOM drinks. It's like a magnesium and melatonin mixture drink. It kind of knocks me out pretty good. The colder the air conditioning is, the harder it is to get out of bed, I've noticed. So just crank that thing down.
So
meat locker.
Exactly.
You don't have a roommate in the major leagues. So nope. do you know if you've slept walk?
No idea. I mean, I'll have an idea, like, you know, if the pillows are all over the place or I'm laying opposite way in the bed or, you know, I'm laying on the ground or something weird.
Giant cut on your forehead or something.
Yeah, he banged a knee up or a shin up one time, he said. He got up and had bloody shins or something.
Yeah.
Scars
on my knees, woke up at the bottom of the stairs, blood everywhere, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, oh, wow.
No, it can be bad from time to time, especially in Colorado when you're venturing outside. It's not great.
Go out and confront a bear.
Evergreen, you know? There's bears.
Yeah.
All right. Bears and mountain lions.
Okay, so we touched on it. We did it. I mean, we wanted to talk about it real quick, but I want to do something outside of baseball. When you're outside of baseball, what do you like to do? Do you golf? Do you hunt? Do you fish? We talked about this, so I know some of the answers, but tell us what you do outside of baseball.
Those three things in order. obviously the hunting and fishing part's a little hard during the season, and
sure,
and golf can be kind of hard, but I try to just keep my mind off baseball, play video games, watch TV, golf. I'm still trying to find the fishing part in Texas. I know the lake that we live right next to is a no fishing lake, which is kind of a bummer, but yeah, probably just those couple things.
He's also like a good Coloradan, a big Broncos fan.
Yeah,
I am.
And that's very,
once football
very,
season comes around, and we're going to be good this year with Russell Wilson.
That's right. That's right.
Watch
Melvin
out.
Melvin Gordon.
Look, I grew up a Cowboy fan, but believe me when I tell you that I don't expect anything ever from the Cowboys with the ownership they have. So I kind of have fun at the expense of the diehard Cowboy fans when I tell them, yeah, they're not going anywhere. Don't worry about it. Mm. They hate me for it. But I like the Cowboys. Don't get me wrong. I pull for it. But I do like the Broncos. I've always liked the Broncos.
Sure.
So,
yeah. There's a lot to like. Well, a lot to like there.
Well, one of my buddies, a good friend of mine from high school, played for the Super Bowl teams named Ray Crockett.
Oh,
there was a defensive back that played for him. Yeah. And I played high school ball with him. He lit me up in practice. Good Lord, I was a wide receiver. Yeah. Used to light me up. Okay, let's go to food. What kind of food you're – this is the last thing we're going to go on. What's your favorite kind of food you like to eat?
I'm very set on a routine of eating. So I'll wake up in the morning and order an acai bowl every single morning, regardless of where we are. So
that
every morning. And then from there, you know, big Torchy's fan, big Torchy's taco fan. Love Torchy's.
I went to Torchy's yesterday.
Like Mexican food, Chinese food, kind of just depends on the day. You know, I don't venture off those two categories all too much. American food, Mexican food.
Any fast food, favorite fast food joints you like to hit, or do you stay away from them?
I'm not a big fast food guy. Man, body's a temple and all, you know. So,
yeah.
But I know I definitely have some favorite. There's a lot. Pizza in Texas, probably one of my favorite things coming to Texas. And Torchies are my two favorite things when we long road trip or spring training after a while. First couple of things that I always get whenever I get back to Texas.
What's your favorite Mexican place in Colorado?
Do they have Mexican food places in Colorado?
Yeah, it's so much better than the Mexican food here.
No, I'm sorry. No. Cut, we're off.
I don't know if I can jump on that, but favorite Mexican restaurant. I feel like we never had any good local Mexican restaurants, so whenever going up, we'd always go to like On the Border, kind of chain restaurants.
Well, Hacienda Colorado's good, right? I mean, that's a good chain. Good.
I've been to Hacienda. Their queso is pretty good. I'm really excited. Me and my family in the off season used to go to this place called Zane's Italian Bistro that was right next to us, and that was probably the one of the things I miss most about Colorado. So Zane's hopefully you can Italian sneak over Bistro. There. It's in Denver when we play the Rockies. Can go over there and get some.
Okay. So I got to ask this now: have you had Whataburger and In-N-Out?
Yeah, I would definitely say Whataburger over In-N-Out for sure.
Look at him; he is kissing. I like it.
In-N-Out's milkshakes are awful. Their burgers, fries, all right, and then the patty melt at Whataburger is pretty good. I mean, I don't venture and get them very often, but you know, it's I would definitely say the Whataburger for sure.
Okay,
all right, last one. We're gonna get it out of here on this one since we're not doing the what's something nobody knows about you, because we know what nobody knew about you.
Well, everybody knows that now. There's got to be something else.
There may be something else, but let's go to a home-cooked meal. What is your favorite home-cooked meal and who cooks it? Does mom cook it, girlfriend, wife, grandma? What is your favorite, your go-to?
Oof. I am a big fan of Thanksgiving, especially growing up, doing the whole Thanksgiving thing, everything that goes with the turkey, the yams, the yam casserole, whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mashed potatoes. I just think everything about Thanksgiving and just picking out the whole day and watching football. And I just think that's probably my favorite home cooked meal and meal just in general is Thanksgiving.
I can go with that. I'm good with that one.
I have no issue with that either. Yeah, I don't mind bellying up to that and doing that. Okay, well, I guess we will ask real quick, any other thing that nobody knows about Brock Burke that you can think of that it's not going to be as fascinating as the sleepwalking?
I mean, the growth plate thing's great.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Let me tell you some of the ones. You know what? Let me tell you, we have used you as the example. Let me tell you some of the new ones we found out because of using you as the example. Let's go to Jack Leiter, who cannot stand peanut butter. Y'all have to give him crap about that.
Someone told me that the other day. I was like, peanut butter, of all the things, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, luckily he didn't come up in the minor leagues when it was back in 2014, 2013, earlier when it was.
When that was the spread.
Peanut butter and jelly spread every single day. Or a terrible spread where you have to eat a PB&J sandwich. So, I mean, that's fortunate. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I could do without peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, that's we had a big problem with that one. What else we have? We have Davis Wenzel got his finger cut off.
Yeah. John Daniels has travel underwear.
John Daniels has travel underwear.
Travel underwear.
He takes two pair. It's got to have them on the planes, there and back. It's an OCD thing, kind of an OCD thing, which we found hysterical. He opened up and told us, so if you want to give him any crap about that, that's his own fault.
It's on the public record.
It's on public record. You can give him some crap about that next time you see him.
I'll have to ask him about it.
All right, so do you have another one?
I mean, I feel like that's a pretty good one. I feel like that gets me off the hook.
It does. He's the one trying to goad you out of
the
more.
Example. Yeah.
I mean, I know the pie thing. The pie thing came out
right. Like a while County, ago. Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That is. Tell them what that one is. That is a cool one. So
when I was in sixth grade, the teacher said if I can get over two, or if anyone can get over 200 digits of pie, there'll be no homework for the rest of the year. I think it was on March 14th, which is Pi Day. So I think it must have been the last 2 months, 3 months of school, however long that would be. So I told everyone if they gave me $20, I would do it. And I think I had 2 weeks to do it, 14 days. It was March, beginning of March to start it, and did it. Got 222 digits. And I think there's 30 kids in the class, $500. So
dude, I was
a rich little sixth grader buying all the gum you could and just...
Nice.
That's actually awesome. That's entrepreneurship right there. Went all Rain Man on them and went in there and figured out pie.
Yeah.
Brock, Hey, man, it's so great that you stopped down and came on with us. We really appreciate it. Good luck the rest of this weekend series. We're going to see you next week when you get back to Texas. But anything else for Brock before we let him go?
No, just go Broncos and go Cougars.
Go Broncos, right? And go Rangers.
And go Rangers. Absolutely, we're going to go Rangers. That's Brock Burke, left-handed pitcher for the Texas Rangers. Brock, thanks so much, and we'll see you at the yard, bud.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
All right, that was Brock Burke from San Francisco that just joined us. Thank you, Brock, for coming on. We're going to do Down in the Bus Leagues real fast. Let's get this over with and get out of here. Hey, the minor league system is doing well combined. I've done this. We're going to go, of course, at each level. We'll go over that. But combined right now, the minor league system is 94-77. I think Ranger fans would be okay if the Rangers ended up 94-77. We would be happy.
Yeah, that would mean that they got into the World Series and right, because that'd be 171 games.
Yeah, Rain Man over here did it in his brain.
So anyway.
Let's go down to Down East first. Obviously, that's low A. Down East is 18-24. They're 5-5 in the last 10. Mahler and Collie are still there.
Yeah, they're struggling a little bit. I don't think that's unusual. I mean, these guys are teenagers.
Both of them.
Right. And, they are hitting the ball.
Sure.
There was a stretch there where they weren't.
Yeah.
But, you know, Collie had a couple hits the other night. So I think that they'll be all right. They just got to see pitching they've never seen before. You know,
exactly. You
can go to extended, you can play 100 extended games and you're going to go to low A and you're not going to see what.
Exactly.
It's just a step above. So.
And these guys are coming from high school. What they're facing, even in extended in there, is so much better than what they faced in high school.
Yeah.
Where they were just superstars. But you know what? These guys are talented. They see it. So they're going to be fine. Kendrick's still doing well down there.
Yeah. I would expect that he will be in high A very soon.
Very soon.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll roll up as we go. Let's go to Hickory. Hickory is high A. That's where some of the best talent is right now.
Yes.
They're 25-17, 8-2. Did you say they won 7 in a row?
They had a 7 or 8 game winning streak here. Yeah, that just ended the other night. So, playing great. Obviously, this guy Evan Carter. I don't know if you guys saw the Baseball America rankings. They updated their top 30, and Evan jumped to number 3 in the system.
So he jumped when? Because it's obviously they still have Young up at the top 2.
Leiter, Young, Wynn, Duran. Okay. I'm sorry, Carter, Duran, Wynn.
Okay. So he jumped Duran too.
Yeah.
Because Duran was ahead of him.
And Duran's been great.
Oh my gosh.
But I think, you know, when you look at Carter, he's 19 years old still, doesn't turn 20 until August 28th. And he's just thriving. You know,
he can
do it all. And, you know, I really am. I think if you're a Rangers fan, you should really enjoy the success that he has after the crap that he and the organization got on draft night. For selecting him, because people, the draft experts hadn't done their research, and you know it was different.
Sure.
That year, because there was no high school season.
A lot of stuff stopped.
The thinking is that if there had been a high school season, that Evan Carter would have been a first round pick.
Absolutely.
He's that good, guys, and you know, by the end of the year. He could maybe be the top rated position player. I know Young isn't gonna
could be in Frisco
play for
too.
A while. Yeah, Carter could be in Frisco. I don't know if that would be fall into the too much too soon category.
He'd be young. But I mean, Elvis Andrews played young.
He was the youngest guy last year in organized affiliated ball. So. He's good.
Yeah, and I'll never forget the night that it was drafted. We were on that Zoom call. Back then we were doing Zoom calls. You didn't get to talk to him in person. It was Kip Fagg who emphatically said right there, this is a potential five-tool guy. And I think everyone rolled their eyes and went, okay. And these guys know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Hey, have you seen also what Zavala's done? He has come on.
Yeah.
This has been amazing.
And Trevor Hauver, too. He started slow. He was in the Gallo trade.
Part of the Gallo trade, yep.
The thing that he, Carter, and Zavala have in common is a great strike zone judgment.
Yep.
And if you have a strike zone judgment and you know how you're going to be pitched, eventually your luck is going to turn. And that happened for Zavala, and that's happening for Hauver now.
And Vanasco had a good start.
He did. He did, 3 runs in 5 innings, no walks, 9 strikeouts.
Sure.
So
no walks is important. He's had that struggle a little bit. Okay, let's go to Frisco. Double A. I was there last night. Went and watched Leiter play last night. Frisco is 23-19, 5-5 in their last 10. LeClerc was there.
Yeah,
he did a rehab stint yesterday, day before yesterday. But he's there. That's getting close. That's going to be some major league stuff. Yep. Duran is the best hitter on the team right now. Duran's hitting .305. He's got 7 home runs, .926 OPS.
He was leading minor league baseball in doubles. Not just the Rangers organization. Every organization, he was number one on the doubles list. And I talked to Jared Godert, the double A manager. He said that some of those balls that are double should have been home runs. You know, apparently the Texas League this year, it's been nothing but wind.
Yeah.
He ID'd some balls in Midland where the wind always blows.
Sure.
That were knocked down. So it's, this is very encouraging because he wasn't great when he came over from the Yankees, at high A. He wasn't great. But this has been very, very good.
Well, and some people thought, there were a lot of people that talked that he was the best of the ones that came over, that Duran had the higher ceiling in doing that. Mm-hmm. We all fell in love with Smith and what he did during last year when he got over here, plus what he did during spring training.
Right.
But Duran is the athlete. He looks to be the athlete. You just watch and look at this guy. He's a stud.
Yeah, he's versatile, which is important. He could play third base. He hasn't done it yet, but apparently that's on the agenda.
Sure.
He can just hit, man.
Yeah. Hey, Leiter. I saw Leiter last night. Okay. Anyone looking at the stats on Leiter, you're probably discouraged. Don't be. This is a guy that's just into pro ball now. He is. I don't care that he played in the SEC. He's never faced hitters like he's facing right now. When he fools somebody with that breaking stuff and it's on and he's got control of it, it is filthy and nasty. He's consistently sitting mid-90s and upper 90s. He looks good on the mound. Strike zone, just having a little trouble catching. I think he's trying to learn to live. It must have had a little bit bigger strike zone in the SEC. All good pitchers try to live on the corners. Yep. They try to get in there. Some pitches that you could tell on the mound, he probably was a little frustrated, thought it might be a strike. He's a professional. He doesn't bitch and gripe or do anything. He just licks his hand, walks off to the back, and you're probably muttering to himself when he thought that was a strike. Not worried about it. His stuff is elite.
Yeah, and speaking of, I spoke also with Jeff Andrews this week, the double A pitching coach. I'm doing a Leiter story for Sunday.
Right.
They are not at all worried, you know, and you could look at the previous two starts. I think he gave up 6 runs apiece in them or something like that.
Right.
But there were dinks and
yes,
you know, ground balls that had eyes and, yep, and things like that. He wasn't hit hard. His changeup has been
that happened last night too.
His changeup's been a very good pitch. He's up to 99. I spoke to Jack too, and he's competitive and he doesn't like the results, but he understands it. You know, obviously we know all about his dad,
sure,
and uncle, and he even has a cousin now who's in the Cubs system who just got sent down to the minor league. So this is a baseball family; they know what they're doing, and he's keeping his head about him.
Okay. Round Rock, AAA, 28-17. They're 8-2 in their last 10.
Yeah.
Leody's cooled off a little bit.
Sure.
It's going to happen. He wasn't going to hit .400 or .380 or whatever he was. Bubba's still keeping his average up there.
Mm-hmm.
Cole Winn, that's someone we want to talk about. Cole Winn, he's fluttered a little bit, and it's easy to see the problem with Cole and what it is. He's got 27 walks and 33 Ks. He is walking people.
Yeah, he had 3 starts there where he walked too many guys.
Exactly.
I think he had six walks in a couple
Rangers
of starts.
Know what that means. They've seen that at the big league level.
Yeah, but you know he when I talked to Matt Hagen last week, he thought Cole and AJ Alexi to that extent too. We're pressing and trying to get to the major leagues, and when all they had to do is do what got them to AAA.
Exactly.
And I think the last two starts they've both kind of gotten back on track. You know, they're not trying to do too much. You know, throw your stuff in the zone. It's good enough. It's going to get outs. And so
you got 8 guys behind you too.
So what they've done, the way they've rebounded is encouraging, and they're still getting their innings. They're still logging their pitches. They're still healthy. So, you know, these are growing pains still, you know, and
absolutely,
and these guys, I know Alexi made his major league debut last year, probably wants to get back. Cole Winn was the Rangers minor league pitcher of the year last year. Definitely wants to make his debut this year.
On the 40 man.
He's not. He's not on the 40 man.
No, Cole's not.
Alexi is.
Alexi is. Okay.
Anyway, and we talked to Cole, right around Christmas.
Yep.
About, you know, how much he wants to make his debut this year.
And that's the goal.
I mean, I want to make my debut this year.
So, sure.
You can't blame him, but you know, I think this kind of these woes have kind of put things in perspective for
sure.
him and got him straightened out.
It's not they don't think he has the talent to be in the big leagues. I think like you said, he sees that's the next prize, and he's probably got that in his head, and he's trying to go out there and blow everybody away.
Yeah.
You just need to do your job. Your job is just get out there, throw strikes, make it happen. I'm not worried about win either. Yes, it has been encouraging the last couple, but he's just walking too many batters, and that is not going to play. Base runners, we've noticed that at the big league level. You get on base, you end up scoring in a lot of cases,
yeah.
especially with the Rangers lately. Well, guys, that's it for Down in the Bus League. That's it for this entire podcast. Thanks to Brock Burke for joining us from San Francisco. Anything else before we get out of here?
No, just happy Memorial Day to everybody. Be safe.
Be safe.
Especially if you go on a boat. God dang it.
All the
Be
time.
Smart. Yep. All right.
Guys, until next time, we'll see you at the yard.